I'm your host, Arena Antoine, and I mean, welcome back to Self Love Lounge. This is a place that stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion in our pursuit of self-love. Self-Love Lounge is a place to learn about, hold space for, and embrace ourselves deeply. Each episode will bring warmth to being comfortable with the uncomfortable. So let's uncondition our minds together to find love within and forever lead with it. So before we get into it, grab a hot or cold beverage and let's go. Welcome back to Self Love Lounge. So just this morning, I was walking to an early hot Pilates class and it was such a beautiful day. It was like sunny, blue sky. The trees were vibrant and flowers were blooming. Like there was just so much beauty and I was so appreciative of just putting myself first. Then a thought popped into my head and I realized that I have to learn when to be nice, when to defend myself, and when to simply tell someone to fuck off with the beauty of silence. I also spent time just rewording the statement to make it nicer, because using that vulgar language of telling someone to fuck off with the beauty of silence is the ultimate, like, you know, fuck you. But as a woman, I'm forced to keep a clean image. And as a biracial woman, I'm forced to keep a cleaner image because of the color of my skin. Therefore, telling someone to fuck off, even by silence, is not womanlike. And there's times when I just don't want to fuck with something or someone because there's a lack of vulnerability. I'm at a place where I can spiritually acknowledge how vulnerability is powerful. When I share my vulnerability with people that don't exactly respect vulnerability as power and instead sees it as their own weakness. Now, because I hold so much respect for myself and for others, I know not to defend myself in these types of situations because one, what am I defending? Two, who am I trying to defend for? And the answer always goes back to, I don't need to defend myself because I know myself enough to know that I choose to protect my energy by simply hitting the unfollow button in real life, which is honestly the biggest defending of all. Protecting your energy may be harmful for those who love closure, but sometimes the best closure comes within yourself. You know, protecting your energy with no remorse when you are engaging in this protection mode, you are seen as like a bitch or as like moody or engaging in masculine energy. It's a threat. And so protecting your energy with no remorse, the ones that think they have power over you end up being the ones that have no power at all. Mostly because I am a bad bitch who knows her worth and knows who is worthy to share that with, which is something we should all learn to embrace about ourselves in a positive light, as it should be. You know, how many of us feel like a pushover? Or how many of us feel like we can never say no? Or when we say yes, we end up hating the person that made us commit to something we didn't want to do. Because I'm just so exhausted. I'm so fucking dehydrated, truly, which is why I'm having so much water, actually, as we're speaking. But I'm just so tired of having the world walk all over me because I don't value my shadow self enough. And instead, I suppress her so much that she ends up self-sabotaging me. Over the last few weeks, I'm really changing and I'm truly embracing this change for the first time in my life. And I read this beautiful quote online last night, actually, by Eckhart Tolle. He said, "Becoming at ease with the state of not knowing, this takes you beyond mind, because the mind is always trying to conclude and interpret. It is afraid of not knowing. So when you can be at ease with not knowing, you have already gone beyond the mind." And I feel like at the start of this year, I was really in my mind about trying to create the structured timeline of my life. When I realized that there is no way for me to know for sure if that will truly unfold. And not because I don't believe in myself enough, but because things change around us so quickly. What you have your eye on today might not be the same way you see it tomorrow. And I started a job and then I outgrown the job in a year, which left me anxious about this famous question of what now? I finished school thinking I was gonna find the one perfect job for me and that was it. And now I found more than the one perfect job. So now what? You know, trying to create scenarios of the what question is unproductive because these scenarios that we are creatively creating in our minds, which is like super fun, is a self-sabotage because first, it has not taken place. And second, it is non-existent. What now? In this moment, what can I do now? And I wrote this poem called The Unknown, and it goes like this. The rest will unfold, so I choose to keep my blindfold on. But I've also come to a desperate need to just be unapologetic. And some people might call it a boss-ass bitch energy, but I simply call myself someone who is unapologetic, that holds so much self-love and wants to share that with anyone I meet. But why do people feel threatened by this energy? And why do we ourselves downplay our true essence by appeasing to something or someone because we're afraid of this energy being perceived negatively? Again, we create scenarios that being unapologetic or a boss-ass bitch will be seen negatively. But what if it didn't? What if we gave up on these scenarios? So I really recently started being more, I guess, honest with myself, where I realized that I don't have to be defensive all the time, even if it's needed. I can just walk away. I want to pride myself by saying how I believe I'm very good at standing up for people that I love. But I want to also humble myself by saying that I most of the time struggle to stand up for myself because I guess I don't believe in myself as much as I believe in those I'm standing up for. Now, I may say that I believe in myself, which is like 60% of the time, but the 40% is when I crack and I struggle because I'm human. And the 40% of just like struggling to believe in myself is soul crushing, that the 60% takes a backseat. Because as humans, we focus so much on the negativity of our lives and of other people. And it's easier to nitpick someone's life because it makes us feel better, whether we want to admit that or not. And we also beat ourselves up about the littlest things, but we really forget to look around at what we've actually built all these years on this beautiful planet. Also, engaging in this self-sabotaging scheme, it is also a mechanism of distraction by focusing on others rather than focusing on me. And that I can agree 1000%. The need to defend though, like I really want to touch on the need to defend, is a human natural instinct where we might feel like the world is against us. And in my opinion, when I start to defend, I am actually reminding myself something I don't quite believe or understand within myself yet. For example, for a while, I was introducing myself as a half black, half brown woman, and that required explanations. So then I changed it and I introduced myself as a biracial woman, and that required more explanation. And I was doing calculation, math was involved, like it was just way too much. So I was like, fuck this. I'm just going to go by Arena. That's it. And that created discomfort for others because they were like, that's it. And I was like, yeah, that's more than enough. And if we really get deep within my reasoning of the fuck it life, but also like it's not really a fuck it life because you're quite intentional as to why you're being in this energy. I found beauty with this urgency to remind myself something I didn't quite get until I started to feel secure with Arena. And that made me clear on what I was reminding myself of until I got it. And I'm no longer trying to educate people because I'm not a teacher. And I'm also not up for debate. I'm not a lawyer or in court. I can just be Arena and focus on how I want to be Arena. I believe that as you get more comfortable in being you, you also realize that every time that you lose yourself trying to explain something to someone, you'll also feel like you're walking backwards or on eggshells, depends on the circumstance. But also, if someone truly cares and wants to know you, that's a whole different story. And I believe in conversations. I'm open to perspective. But if I feel like someone wants to fight me in a debate where their focus isn't to have a constructive conversation, but it is actually to win, I'll let them win and walk away because I'm not fighting, I'm loving. Or if someone claims to care, but also hits you with, I'm not going to validate or invalidate your feelings, I'm also going to walk away with no judgment at all because I know what care is and that ain't it. I think the epiphany of that particular example, though, is that you shouldn't be forced or have this urgency to fight for something or someone in your life. Because when something is truly meant for you, it will be, and it will be peaceful. I don't know how to explain this, but when you're dating, you might decide to put all your eggs in one basket, assuming that that person is doing the same with you. However, this person is now saying that they're so busy and have less and less time to make memories with you, which then that person starts to avoid you. Because you may have this bond with this person, you might feel the need to overly text them or feel the urgency to fight for this person because you invested your heart in this. And that's valid. You have to realize as a human, you might be a full-time student who works and volunteers part-time and may have a podcast or a creative business that you invest so much time in. And so for someone to say, I'm busy this month, let's do it next month, is an indication that you and that person might not work well together because you both have different work ethic. You know, and that's just like one example, one idea, one layers. And usually when there's one issue, there's actually a layer. It's kind of like an onion. There's so many little red flags that we definitely miss on TV shows like Gossip Girl, where Blair and Chuck are like fighting for themselves and fighting for each other. And it's like this like passion love, but it's actually so toxic if we really try to embody that in real life. It's kind of like the worst thing that we can do. It got me thinking about the misconceptions we have about the need to fight for what you love, or you feel like you need to fight for someone. No, you don't. I don't believe that we should fight for anything because that's not out of love frequency. It is actually through a lack frequency as a reminder that you are in need of something you don't have. You know, you need to learn to pick yourself up in those cracks because I experienced them too. And I realized that you are truly everything you need. Therefore, whatever is meant for you will come to you peacefully. You know, if you seek someone, just know that if it ain't peace, it ain't for you. So I guess as I'm on this ride of bad bitch energy, I could be listening to Doja Cat and then be surrounded by types of very specific people in a room who are constantly talking about themselves and only themselves. Picture yourself surrounded by people engaging in an ongoing conversation that isn't inclusive whatsoever. Comments are shared that are incredibly damaging to you and people that look like you. So when I'm around, there's this fear in them where they just don't know how to talk to me because I am an empowered woman. But I also start to close myself off by their discomfort and remain small because I don't want to offend anyone. And it also doesn't help that no one is showing interest in asking questions about myself, nor do I feel confident to share anything with these people who actually don't care about me or see me besides my gorgeous hot ass man who gasses me up completely as he always does, but the rest of the room sits uncomfortably silent. So I come across too nice or silent and may downplay my success. So in this room, the vibe is off and only a woman or someone who identifies with something in me
will feel it.
So I came to this realization by having a really powerful conversation with my boyfriend one night. And he, I don't know how this like came up, but I was so blown away. But he found within himself this acknowledgement that my light diminishes when he's around me in a group setting. And he explained to me this very well, very respectful, that he doesn't want to do that as my boyfriend, but most importantly, as a white privileged man. And in the past, I was so shy. Like I was so shy. Like I always wanted him like take over the conversations willingly. Like I didn't like the attention being on me whatsoever. And I was just really in my shell because I just didn't figure myself out yet. Like I was still trying to see like, who was I? I didn't want to offend people. Like I was just in my head, I guess. But he made me realize that I am changing. And I am outspoken and I'm no longer shy. I love conversation and that's always been arena. My boyfriend wants more than anything for me to shine around him just as much as I do without him. And that's something he's personally working on as a white privileged man. And that's something he hopes I work on as a woman and as a woman of color. So, ladies, an empowered partner. And this is not directed to a man, a woman, just a partner who is self-aware and confident in themselves and isn't afraid to uplift you or respectfully challenge you or even remind you that you can embrace that bad bitch energy. That is the kind of partner you want around you as a friend, as a cousin, as a sister, as a boyfriend, as a brother, as a sibling, as your whatever. A partner who can have these uncomfortable conversations about your wants, your needs, identify the gaps within yourself, the gaps within themselves, is the new sexy to me. A partner who is scared of you and will avoid you is a goodbye energy. And that's period. Although I'm getting better of no longer defending myself, I do this other thing where I will be at dinner or a coffee date with someone that I truly love. And I won't know how to wrap up a conversation so I can go home and just chill in bed. Because who doesn't like their bed? I'll do this thing where I'll like wait for them to initiate the wrap up. And most of the time, both parties will feel this exact same in just not knowing how to wrap up our hangout. And it's this awkward thing like, are you gonna do it? Please do it, or else I'm gonna have to do it and I don't really wanna do it. and I feel like I struggle to initiate the wrapping up of any hangout or phone calls. Because I'm afraid. I'm genuinely afraid of hurting someone's feeling. And I'm truly afraid that this person may never speak to me again. Or I'm afraid that I won't have friends if I come across too direct. And I'm afraid to be perceived in a way that is incredibly limiting to my true being as a woman who cares about people, but also cares about herself. And so I'm not even sure where this even comes from, but I can be a pushover sometimes. Like when someone will ask me to do something and I really don't want to do it, but they will like guilt me into doing it. And then because I care so much about them, I'll do it, but then I'll be mad at them for making me do it. It's just the most frustrating thing in the world, honestly. And I really think that I'm just so afraid for someone to like be mad at me or hold that against me in some ways. Or if I lose them tomorrow, I'll regret that I did not straighten my sister's hair. Like, it's the most strangest perception that goes in my head, and it's absolutely fucked. As someone who cares so deeply about people, caring comes with creating boundaries, especially when people are taking advantage of your pure heart because of their hurt heart. So as someone who's very sensitive, like honestly, I will cry watching a movie or seeing someone cry or someone being mean, like I'm just a crier. Like I've never been like this for a long time. And I don't know, I think I meditate too much, or like, I don't know, my heart chakra is just really fucking open. The first initial step to stop being a pushover, even if you're sensitive, because I'm so freaking sensitive, is by practicing saying no thank you. Don't explain yourself because that will create self-doubt, but be firm and walk away. And if you struggle to say no, as I do sometimes, maybe start by saying, let me think about it. Or maybe, because as you walk away, you're obviously going to have a battle within yourself of like, oh, like, should I go back? Or that person's going to hate me. And in those moments, I want you to realize that the person you said no to will probably not care at all. It might even be understanding. However, the delivery when you set your boundaries need to be rooted in love. If someone asks you to hang and you lie to them, for example, and say, sorry, I'm hanging out with my sister. Well, you will first be in an anxiety mode because social media works with the devil, or your mind might create situations that aren't happening, then it happens because manifestation is real. So then the next time the same person asks you to hang out, you now feel obligated to say yes because last week you said no. So if you simply just tell someone the truth and literally just be yourself and say, I'm not feeling like myself today. Could we reschedule? That person will be so completely understanding and will respect your decision because energy speaks louder than words. And 99% of the time I've rescheduled with someone, they've always been super respectful and I'm always truly rooted in love while also grounding myself in full ass protection of my energy. Because if someone who might feel insulted that I rescheduled, even though I'm literally struggling mentally, that is an indication that we won't be friends for very long. And that's not exactly the kind of people I want in my life. And not because they're horrible people, but just because, again, grasps towards vulnerability. I grasp towards people that are understanding, that are open, that are flexible. Because essentially, by protecting your energy, you can use that energy elsewhere. If you choose to help someone, of course, do it. You know, if you can do it, why not do it? I'm a firm believer to help as many people as I can out of the kindness of my heart. And I had this moment when people I love would literally dump their problems onto me. And at first, I would give them, you know, advice because I experienced something similar and I had things to offer. However, these people got into habits of just dumping more problems onto me. And I started to feel incredibly drained. I went for a walk with my sister and she told me something really valuable. And it was, you can be someone's friend, but not therapist. And I thought, wow, like creating boundaries within people who may not be intentionally using you for advice, but are forgetting that you need a friend back in order to have a friend in me. So when I started to become emotionally unavailable for these people, I noticed the ones that were there for the right reason stick around. And the ones that don't clear a pathway for new opportunities. And so being emotionally unavailable to certain people does not mean you aren't friends with them, but you just create boundaries. And every time the response is when you are creating those boundaries and you're being truly honest, they're so understanding. They're like, oh, you're totally right. I was going to say something like, thank you. Because at the end of the day, people know what they do and they squeeze opportunity if they see there is one. So you need to be clear on what direction you want to take and people will follow you upon that path. And so people pleasing is something I struggle with all the time. But once I realized that I cannot please the world, but if I can just please myself and be happy with myself, those who are in my circle will be more than happy for me. Because I always say this, but each one of us are influencers, which is why it is so important to ground our energy so our energy can lead those around us with the love that we discovered when we started valuing ourselves. Once you start to respect yourself by saying no to things, others learn to respect you back. Because when you are disrespecting yourself, others are going to disrespect you. But if you're firm and you start to create firm boundaries and you're so confident in who you are, others will learn to respect you and to embody those boundaries as well. And they might even apply this to their lives, which ultimately benefit them. And so this kind of goes with another example of having creative outlet, project, or business. Having that requires you to be firm with the people you choose to work with, but also be firm with yourself to deal with rejection. When I first started the podcast, I wouldn't care about my time at all, and I'd allow people to flake or reschedule, which would completely fuck me over completely because my schedule was packed with full-time school, full-time work. I also had a social life, which I'm entitled to have, you know? And it's crazy because now I'm very clear in making sure that the process is extremely collaborative. And if it's not, then I let them know that this isn't going to work. And this comes with just strengthening your work ethic. And you can ask any of my friends. I have always worked extremely hard, like even in high school, even like in university, like I've always been on top of my things. Like I'm pretty sure like I would write essays like 2 weeks in advance before it was due so I could like edit an episode, but also like, I don't know, go to the Richmond Market or go shopping. Like I was so on top of my things. I guess like because I was that way, in a way, I was practicing self-love because the more you build on self-love, the more your work ethic becomes stronger, you know, by being consistent with whatever you have your mind set on. I've definitely recorded with someone before where it just didn't work out. And it was very hard for me to express how this wasn't going to work. Because truly, it just didn't align with my mission statement of being vulnerable. And just having to express this was scary. Because again, this fear of not being liked or being perceived as a villain when I truly do care about the guests, it just wasn't the best fit for the podcast. And I think this fear of just like, as a woman, you don't want to be seen as a villain and you don't want to be seen as a bitch. But I think like when you're a boss, you know, when you're the CEO, when you own something, you have to be firm, even if people might not love you, but they might respect you for your work ethic. That might even inspire somebody to embody that energy because I think that it's important to embody masculine energy just as much as it's important to embody feminine energy. And at the end of the day, you matter. And when I valued the time spent on my projects, and this isn't just the podcast, but it's like school assignments, it's, you know, projects at work, I wasn't going to let little hiccups be the cause I fall flat. When I've invested my love on these passion projects, and now I'm such a badass that even during rejections, I don't harp on it for too long. If someone were to say no, or maybe later, or I'll let you know, I'm just asking the wrong person. And that is actually a protection. And I only realize this because I'm working on a project called To Build Her Home. And this is like a little plug, but also like super secretive. I've started scouting for collaborators that I'm extremely inspired by. And the people who were completely interested immediately put into perspective by how the people who are meant to be on your team or in your friend group or in a relationship are the ones that when you receive an answer, which doesn't have to be right away, but the answer comes to you with peace, where you have this excitement inside of you and you're ready to like set the world on fire. And you feel like your heart warmth raise a little, you know? But when you feel the exact opposite, where you ask someone who you probably shouldn't, and you are left with anxiety for a slight second, tune into that. Find people who want to work with you and give you a natural feeling where you are both in perfect alignment. You want to work with people who shows their integrity and effort within themselves. Believe in your ability to create, and even at your most vulnerable state, you need to know that people want to work with you just as much as you want to work with them. And you just need to look around you and stop asking the wrong people because your intuition speaks louder than words. You just need to tune into that. So here's to a new bad bitch energy era. With this new era, I'm going to struggle to believe in myself when I hit that 40% mark. But I'm also going to try to celebrate loudly the 60% more. And I might struggle to say no, but I'm also going to remind myself that I don't have to defend myself. I'm going to choose not to fear because the only person I need to please is myself. And that will actually please the world around me. But the fact that I can acknowledge this in a vulnerable state with you all means that I'm heading towards understanding myself and others more with compassion, which is something you have all taught me. And that itself will benefit all my loved ones in the long run. And I deeply invite you all to look inwards in your own way too. So I guess this episode is going to end on a self-reflection kind of way. And I invite you to do that. So I guess before I close this off, I'm going to ask you, please subscribe to any platforms that you stream Self Love Lounge. Follow us on Instagram at Self Love Lounge. But I also have a new Instagram page that's going to be at To Build Her Home, which is going to be a new project that I'm working on coming soon. And also please rate us, review us on Apple Podcasts, but also on Spotify. I just found out actually that you can rate my podcast, which is like so cool. And it's so weird because I've had this podcast for 2 years, but it's fine. But anyways, and I will see you all on the next episode.